Hello and welcome to the 39th Planet Destiny podcast. We are nearing 40, guys. We don't have a special guest to announce this week, so it's just the usual cast. Mm-hmm. We have me, we got Tefty, we got Briar, and we have a Pope Bear. So many fun things to do this week, don't we?
Yes.
You don't sound too happy about it, Patrick.
I think he's a little sleep deprived, to be honest with you, Briar.
I can't imagine why. You
know, our little Holtzman gets cranky when he...
I get sleep deprived when I can't get a continuous like 7 to 8 hours of sleep. If I have to keep waking up every 3 hours mm-hmm. because Uncle Bungie has decided to, you know,
drop a
simulant my sleep schedule,
drop some
sleeper simulants every day for the past 2 days.
Oh my gosh. Hey, I'm going to congratulate you on you and the community's efforts to identify and locate the basketball court.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that really helped push the ball forward.
Pope, we spoke before the podcast, and I said to never mention that again, please. In all honesty,
how many hours do you think you put into that?
I didn't put
court?
As many hours.
You should
as
be
some
an
other,
NBA star.
No, like I did not put as many hours as some other people did, and so I have to give credit to those people that were in there for like the entire weekend. Pretty much after the first day of opening up the door and then seeing that nothing was really happening, I was like, yeah, I'm done in here. Mm-hmm. Done. I think like Slayer Age, he stayed in there for the entire weekend. So props to him for staying in there. Feels bad, man. Like the sound of dunking that relic in there, like mm-hmm. honestly gives me just like, it's like something just happens in the back of my head and I'm like, no, no, no. So even in like a Rift game mode, it's the same games. It's the same sound. So then like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go in and dunk the relic now. Oh God. It's just like a flashback happens in my head and
you know
I'm immediately
in
a fetal position crying on the floor.
Patrick, you need to have that as the sound when somebody like subscribes or donates.
I should set it as my alarm there because it would like immediate enrage and wake up at the drop of a hat.
I don't know if it would work. You'd just sleep through it because you'd assume it's still part of your nightmare.
Right? It's true. That is true. I think it was it was last week when Luke Smith announced that it was that's a basketball court essentially. It's an Easter egg. There's nothing tied to it. I still don't believe him because that's a lot of development time to put in on.
Yeah, I know. I saw. Board. I
you didn't
I saw
spend
you with
the
your,
entire weekend doing that.
Yeah,
it is a pretty cool Easter egg.
It is like if you're like, hey, there's this thing, and you can go dunk. Like, yeah, that's great. But the problem is, you know, like what we had to do to find that out for everyone else. So it's,
yeah.
Yeah, my sleep schedule is still altered from it.
We lose perspective because we have to focus on these things so hard to get mm-hmm. a video out or completely, to get, to know about things that we lose the coolness factor mm-hmm. of it based on how much work we had to put into it.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick, as a member of the community who spent zero time trying to figure it out, we thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
No problem.
Also,
welcome.
Thank you to Luke Smith for letting everybody know that there was nothing to find. Otherwise, we would
absolutely
still be searching it right now.
Well, screen. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would have given up at this point. I pretty much gave up after the first day of, okay, we figured out how to get in here, but nothing else is apparent. So I'm just going to let, go to the Winchester, have some beers, and let this all boil over.
Now, speaking of Luke Smith, I really want to thank the people who listen to the podcast mm-hmm. and comment that they really appreciated having Luke Smith on, and I know we were excited to have him on, and we got a lot of positive comments about having him on, and you know, hearing the backstory of the Fault of Glass mm-hmm. and the progression and design to raids, and so I really really appreciate everybody's feedback and. It just, the community really stepped up and helped us and the writers, the Planet Destiny writers, put together a really good interview packet. And the quality of the interview and the stories and everything that brought into it was really a reflection of everybody chipping in and contributing when we asked for, you know, conversation topics and questions. So really thank everybody out there for doing that.
In that one day, my sleep schedule got wrecked. So I woke up and the first part, The first thing I saw was the Luke Smith tweet saying, hey, it's just an Easter egg. I was like, oh, well, that sucks. And then I was like, well, why is everyone else like still really like talking about a bunch of stuff? What happened? Microtransactions were announced for Destiny.
Oh my goodness. I know.
Yeah.
I know. The Eververse Trading Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw that being copyright. The name being copyright.
We saw that like before E3, I think. Mm.
It came just before. It came at the same time that they copyrighted the images of what we now see on T-shirts and things like that of the Taken King, right?
Interesting.
Yep.
So Tess officially got incorporated and started her own business. Back. She's in our business in the real world and in the Destiny business.
She's an entrepreneur.
She is, right? Yeah. What is it that we're going to be buying from her? Is it silver? Is that what it's called?
Emotes. We're going to be buying emotes.
No.
We're
going to convert.
Yeah. The new currency is going to be silver, and you're going to purchase that from either the PlayStation or Microsoft Store.
Got it.
With real money. Man,
Tess is going to be
real money.
Tess is going to be rolling.
So Tess is going to be rolling in some of that virtual dough that's actually real dough at the same time.
Yeah. You guys okay with this?
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes and no.
Yes and no.
I have a reserved a position on this, and that I'm very hesitant. This is a very extremely slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to caution. I have a caution enthusiasm for it because from my background, I loved it when, you know, I played Halo a lot and I played Call of Duty a lot, and I really liked all the skins that I could buy for the guns and things that I could add to cosmetically that didn't change the game, but allowed me to customize my character. I really appreciated that, and I bought them all. And I know guys that made fun of me and were like, you know, that's stupid. It doesn't help me shoot my gun better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was okay with him, some of my friends not buying them. And I was really happy that I like playing dress up with my characters and changing the way they look and things like that. It's one of the reasons that drew me to Destiny.
Yeah.
Making my character unique.
When you
and
put
so,
1,000 hours or more into a game, it's nice to be able to switch it up every once in a while.
So what do you think, Briar? I mean, how do you stand on it?
I'm the same exact way. I've got reserved enthusiasm. I'm okay with buying new emotes. I'd love to see a Moonwalk one, a Hokey Pokey one, possibly the Macarena. You know, the Thriller Dance would be okay. But, you know, it depends on how far they go with this, right? Shaders, I'm almost a little bit skeptical on, because shaders are kind of cool as something that you earn. You know, when you have a really cool shader, people ask you where you got it. Oh, I got this from completing the raid. Oh, you completed the raid already? Oh, that's awesome. Or, you know, I got this from this place. Maybe I got it from the Crucible or, you know, whatever. If I just bought it, the story's gone. It's not as special. But what happens if they sell a ghost? What light level do they sell it at? You know, what happens if they sell weapons? What happens if they sell armor? Now, they've only said emotes so far, but I think that's the slippery slope that we're all talking about, is that, you know, the more stuff they sell, the more successful this is, the more pressure they'll feel from Activision and from, you know, people who have money and want more of it to start selling more items. And that's what scares me about it.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm also on the same thought lines that it is a slippery slope. It definitely changes the dynamics in the game and how people feel about their character and not necessarily progression yet. If they do add anything that changes progression, that's where I'm going to be I will be very disappointed in Activision if it can actually boost your character. Like if you can actually go and purchase these XP things for money in the game, even though the Red Bull thing was basically like that. You go buy Red Bulls and go add a code and then you purchase that's basically a microtransaction right there that they were testing. Mm-hmm. If they keep on doing that and give you even more XP boosts via in-game, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like it. I would prefer that they keep it cosmetic. I don't mind if they have emblems or shaders because it's cosmetic, you know? And I think that if some of them you earn in game is great, and some of them are only purchasable, I think that's just part of the cosmetic value of it. But where the line for me definitely was drawn is that things that affect your gameplay consistently. Like if you can buy legendary marks, so you can just keep on refilling your stock of legendary marks with like $5 pops or whatever, that would be very right. disturbing for me as somebody who values Agreed. The experience of leveling in the game, you know?
Yep.
Right.
If you could buy a Mozo Light,
yeah.
that would be concerning.
Yeah,
that would
be very concerning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Class materials?
I think we're all in agreement that if as long as this 100% stays in the cosmetic area of the game, as long as like it's only related to like emblems, shaders, and dances, things like that, things that have absolute zero effect on the game other than the way that like your character looks or something like that. As long as it stays exactly like that, I think the community is cool with it mm-hmm. because it's yeah. optional. It's optional.
Have you do you have experience in maybe another game?
Yeah, yeah. PlanetSide actually has a pretty uh-huh. similar system to that, where everyone looks exactly the same in the game, aside from your faction colors. Like now, PlanetSide was definitely more along the pay-to-win model, where you could actually buy the guns that you were working for, but. The main selling point of the system was also you want to look like you don't want to look like everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can buy one of these shaders that will affect all your armor on all of your characters. Cool. Now instead of, you know, the normal red, solid red and white, you can get a red and white camo on this guy, or you can get the giraffe pattern, which makes you blend in with everyone. Like you could do that. I'm okay with this, but only if it stays mm-hmm. cosmetic.
So Activision, I think, has a pretty good history with this. Pope, you mentioned
yes,
Activision
do.
Earlier. You know, you could buy, like you said, you could buy gun skins, you could buy camo, you could even buy Snoop Dogg as an announcer for multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Snoop Dogg for as my ghost?
Yes, please.
Oh, I'll yes, take this. Yes, please. Yes.
I will buy that. But they kept it out of, you couldn't buy guns. You could buy guns, but they were part of DLC packages. So that's really no different than buying, you know, a DLC for Destiny. There's going to be new guns in the DLC.
They weren't unlocked right away, though.
That's
right?
Fine. That doesn't bother
me. You still had to get them to drop in Call of Duty, right?
Yeah, you still got to get them to drop. Yeah. Exactly. But I have seen in games, The Last of Us multiplayer was an example where you could buy a bow and arrow mm-hmm. that was just better than anything else in the game, mm-hmm. right? It was just better. And the only way to get that was to buy it. That's not fair.
That's not cool.
That's not fair.
No. No, it's not. And I'm curious if, you know, so the currency that we are going to purchase with real money is silver, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm curious if an indicator of what they're going to choose to do with this over time would be something like a, can we earn silver in-game through in-game actions and activities?
Okay.
But at like a...
Can we earn real world, like, is silver going to be, like an exotic drop, right? You could either get a weapon or you could get silver.
I would be ridiculously pissed if instead of getting an exotic in the game, I got silver.
Yeah, that's
honestly.
True. That's true.
So I mean, let's not think of it as an exotic then, okay?
Yeah.
Just take it away from that. But what if the concept was that they're going to be testing out? Do you think that's an if they start testing out us being able to earn silver in game, do you think that's going to be an indicator of where they're choosing to take this?
Maybe my fear is if we can start earning silver in game, then that means it will open up to, being able to use that silver to buy other in-game items like legendary marks that we were talking about, because it can be earned in-game, outside of money.
Yeah.
That's one of the indicators that I'm looking for, Patrick, and I agree with you.
As much as I hate to say you should only be able to buy silver with real money, it needs that barrier to be there mm-hmm. so you can always be like, well, I paid money for this, so that means it can only be used for cosmetics.
Yeah.
The second we bring in the, you know, Destiny RNGesus into the scenario, then it opens up a whole another can of worms that Activision will probably gladly start exploiting.
Once we get acclimated to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's exactly. What people's fear is that, you know, it's like a drug dealer, mm-hmm. you know, you give... Yeah, hey, that's the first sample.
Because everyone's getting silver.
Yeah, we're all getting some.
Everyone's getting some. So you can go
and then we get accustomed to spending a little bit of money. And you know what would let's just throw it out there. You know, and I'll start the conversation since I thought about it earlier. But what would you pay for an emote?
$1.99.
Yeah.
99 cents to $1.99. I'm not, I wouldn't want to spend anything over $1.99. Yep.
You guys think it's going to be about that $2 range? Yeah, I think
$1 to $2.
That sounds cheap.
If there was an exceptional dance emote or something that was just ridiculous for $5, I would consider
it.
You
got your eye on that Macarena, don't you?
The Macarena, right?
Yeah, now what exactly is that dance for you, Tefty? The inquiry might want to know.
It'd just be something that is both ridiculous and rude at the same time.
All right, so you want your guy to drop down and do the worm on somebody's body that you just
wouldn't
destroyed.
That be worth the yes. $5?
Oh, I would throw money at the screen for that.
It'd be like would the question be, oh no, I can't pay $3 more for that, but $2, you know, like. That's the thing. I think for a premium one, no problem. But like a golf clap, I'd pay $1 or $2 for that. $5? Hell no.
Sure. Sure.
If we're
how about versus the stream brought this up at while we were at TwitchCon, mm-hmm. Tefty. Remember when we were talking in the lobby and he said an emote for a high five? Yeah,
exactly. Ooh, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like in a Team Fortress 2 has that where you can, I think, yeah, everyone has you can essentially buy emotes in the game as well there. And there is a high five emote where like your character just kind of stands there like waiting for a high five, and if someone else comes up and hits a button, then they high five you.
That's awesome.
We yell it in the raid now when we're doing the kind of that relay race portion of the raid right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We yell high five on the way past everybody now.
There's another really fun one in Team Fortress, the conga line, where as long as like the basically the leader needs to have the emote, and basically he just starts a conga line. He just starts doing a conga and starts walking forward, and then you can come up behind him and then join in on the conga line, but you don't need to have the emote to do that.
That's awesome.
See, like sometimes it'll turn into your team just conga lining out of the front gates of your of your starting base and then just getting annihilated, but you don't care. You're conga line.
It's
totally worth it.
I'd love to see the sleeper simulant montage footage of someone like nice big conga line of people, and then you just
like
through all of them. Kills. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So the Eververse Trading Company, they are justifying this by saying that we're gonna get basically some content out of it. This is gonna actually pay for what's called the live team. That's interesting.
That's incredible, because they could have just been like, hey, money for emotes. That's it. They could have just done that.
Right.
But instead, they realize how touchy of a subject this is, and they're saying, we're actually funding stuff that you're going to get for free with people buying cosmetic things.
Well, some people are going to get it for free because they're not going to use the, you know, things, and some of us are technically paying for it, but whatever.
Right.
Like, all I want people to do is to not have hate for each other, because I saw this in Call of Duty where I know that's asking a lot. I mean, if people of the community understand, okay, look, this guy's got this emote or this shader or this whatever that makes him that he bought, right? And sometimes people can be like, oh, you're stupid because you spent money on it. Well, it takes a lot of people to make the world go round, a lot of different kinds of people. And to me, that's really interesting to have. And if you're a person that doesn't find that valuable, but you're getting free stuff, then just be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Money has different value to different people too.
Right.
You know, dropping $20 on some emotes does not have the same financial impact it has on me that it has on a 13-year-old boy.
That's very true.
For me, you know, dropping $20 on some emotes that are going to be fun and make me happy, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think the community just has to get next to the idea. And also, Bungie has to execute it correctly, which hopefully, I mean, they're smart, so hopefully they're going to do it correctly. And once we get comfortable with it and we see the benefits that are coming across from it, I think we're all going to be really happy. Because if they move to like a yearly installment model for Destiny, where you pay like a $40 expansion every year to get a big fresh content boost, and then
a Taken King size,
yeah, if it was a Taken King refresh of the base game every year for $40, and then a bunch of free content throughout the year, I think that's a really great value proposition for the entertainment that you get out of this game. You know,
There's
definitely going to be a Destiny 2 at some point.
Oh yeah.
Well, okay.
And they already talked about that as being a $60.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
It'll probably be like $60 for base game and then $40 for later.
And House of Wolves DLCs, like, are those going to be? Are we going to be paying for those kind of DLCs in the future? Or is this going to pay for those? I don't know.
See, that's my hope. Okay. And as a consumer,
that's my hope.
And somebody who is probably going to buy these emotes, probably all of them, because I want to be flossing flying. you know.
Floss and flying. I'm writing that down.
I would hope that, you know, there's some sizable content that gets given out for free, you know? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I feel like it's a ruse. And Activision is like, gotcha.
Well, what if it's not, though? Yeah. What if it's not the DLCs? It's not the, you know, the two big DLCs or the Dark Below style.
What if it's not those sizes?
What if those are still paid DLCs at $20 or $30, but what we are going to get are more kind of monthly updates, right? All of a sudden, there's going to be new quests that just pop up on Arms Day. There's two new missions on your map. You have no idea where they came from.
You just destroy
quest
Patrick.
Number one.
Sleep
quest
schedule.
Number one. Wait for Arms Day. Quest number two. Shoot some stuff. Quest number three. Wait for Arms Day.
Yeah, I love that model.
But you know what I'm saying?
Line.
It's like instead of getting like the big DLCs for free, what if we just see kind of stuff spread out throughout the year that's not necessarily
big
enough to be a DLC.
The thing is, I don't really consider Dark Below and House of Wolves big DLCs. Like,
no, I don't either, but like comparably to, like, you know, they cost $20, right?
I think it was overpriced. I really do.
Okay.
I do.
So
yeah.
Instead of getting those, though, what I'm saying is, like, imagine we just get some stuff between then and now. That's what this is paying
for. So, some stuff between then and now of an expansion that we'd pay $20 for.
I would want to see, to be honest with you guys, I would want to see the yearly edition of a new playable space, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Every year, we're getting a new planet, a new dreadnought, you know, a new location.
I want 4 new ones in Destiny 2.
Ideally, we get 4 new ones Destiny mm-hmm. 2. The game then after that is additional quests and stuff that are free throughout mm-hmm. throughout the year.
I mean, that sounds good.
All right.
That sounds good. I mean, I don't know if that's what it's going to be, though.
That's a deal. I mean, that would be...
See, I think they're going to make a killing off of the emotes and the stuff. So they're going to have the financial lubrication to make this stuff slide. It's the question.
Mm-hmm. You were just waiting to say that, weren't you, Tefty?
Yeah.
You had that written down. Written down. You just checked that off a list.
We're just fortunate that he didn't bring it up when we were talking about exotic
swords. There you
swords.
Go, yeah. Which I am farming those materials as I speak. I think...
Gaining lubrication.
Yeah, I'm getting my bolt caster lubrication going. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to be making a lot of money on this, and I think if they made it a yearly model with some updates that are happening that are nice DLC content updates that make the world interesting to come back to every week, I think they got a winning model then. If they start bringing out more DLCs that we have to pay for, like The Dark Below and The House of Wolves, it's going to split the community dramatically. It really is. And I don't want that. I don't want the community to split up so much.
Mm-hmm. They've done such a good job of keeping the community together. They give out the PvP maps for free, like the older ones. You know, they've done a good, pretty good job for, if you didn't get any of the DLCs before The Taken King, when you buy The Taken King, you got basically everything. So everybody's on equal footing yearly.
Well,
that's pretty good.
The thing is, year ones have been left behind. Like, it's tough for a year one. If you didn't buy The Taken King, like...
You do not have a lot of activities to choose from. You have three PvP modes. You have one Vanguard playlist to choose from, mm-hmm. and then that's pretty much it. You can't buy anything from vendors.
That's a mega problem for that 13-year-old kid too. Who's waiting until Christmas
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
if some of his other friends can actually get it.
Little Billy that can't mow the lawns because it's a drought in California, and his mom is really like conservative. Is bummed out right now. Mm-hmm. Hey, little Billy. My whole point about that is that, again, I don't want, like, every 3 or 4 months a DLC to split up the community. I don't want that.
Yeah, I understand.
I think that's
going to
be
right.
Toxic, offline mm-hmm. and online in the game.
And my guess is that they're trying hard to avoid that by allowing a lot of this content to come out.
That's
free.
What I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. That's what I would, like, appreciate.
One of the things that I think that they're addressing is a real concern that, you know, Fallout is coming.
Wait, what? What game?
And
I haven't heard of this. No.
I think that they're looking ahead at some content releases by some studios that, you know, they want to keep people talking about Destiny and coming back here. And they don't do it by making people, you know, if you've just bought Fallout, are you going to be in a position to then go back and buy another DLC when you're having fun playing Fallout? Or if that content's free and people are talking about it and you have another model that's meant to pay for it, you can come back and download the DLC for free and you're apt mm-hmm. to play it more so than if you were, you know, having to shell out more money. So I think it's a response to maybe some challengers that they have coming out soon.
Well, you guys have sold me on this, so hopefully you sell Bungie too, because I'd like to see it happen the way you guys are describing.
But you, yeah. Briar, you feel like it's not going to be that way? You feel like...
I don't know. You know, you guys made some really good points that I hadn't really thought of, mm-hmm. so I really want it to be the way you guys are describing it now. I don't know if it's going to be, but I want mm-hmm. it to be.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Yeah.
We should... Like, I do want to kind of say... Well, I don't know how this stuff is being developed. I don't know the inner workings of Bungie. I am a little bit familiar with some other game companies, and this type of stuff is, it's very easy to develop, and it's not, it doesn't take away from, like, they're not choosing, okay, so should we do, like, a new strike mission, or should we, you know, put out a bunch more skins that we can sell?
Oh, right.
Or something like that. No, that's not how this development process works. I'm not saying it's so easy to create that it's like, yeah, you know, whatever, we can just make some stuff. But it's much easier to design this stuff to fund later on projects yeah. than it is to, you know, devote okay. a lot of time to these larger scale projects like a full DLC yeah, or a full raid-like activity or a strike or something like that.
Yeah, I would be...
So that working on this isn't them taking away
no,
time.
No, they are not stuff. Taking... They're not going like, dude, I know you have a strike to develop, but we got some various shades of yellow, blue, and white. Yeah, we got some various shades of yellow, blue, and white that need to be a shader, and, you know, you need to get on that.
Yeah, I would be seriously surprised if more than one person was working on making shaders. That would be shocking, actually. If they had a team of shaders.
Which, by the way, I think
they come out.
We've been talking about shaders, but we just know there's going to be emotes coming.
Emote, I mean, they hire a dancer to come in. Because, I mean, if any of you know any dancers, usually they are very skilled in all kinds of genres. They're like, they come in the whole day. A professional dancer could knock out, like, a library, a legit library of dance moves in a day's session.
Bungie, call me.
The Briar, I would pay for a yeah. If I get a character that dances like you, I've seen you at work, man. It'd be ridiculous.
Spectacular is a word that's often used when describing it.
Be bad,
you know, a little popping and locking.
Spectacle. I can't remember now.
I want you to pop. I've seen you pop and lock it. This is going to be amazing.
And I'd pay $5 for that. Well,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So
thanks for volunteering, Briar.
So
you got it.
So something else that's come out in the past couple of
hours,
yeah, like past 48 hours, in fact, pretty much.
Something else,
yeah. There's this weapon that's come out called the Sleeper Simulant. The community has been,
torn between dimensions.
Yeah, torn between dimensions, some cute reference like that. I guess we should give a little bit of backstory. So,
yep. Sure.
Let's wind this shit back like 2 or 3 months to when Game Informer first put out that article that was like, hey, here's Galahorn's competition.
Sure.
So,
expectations
are already set, you know, really high.
It was also an article that was outlining the future of either Destiny being awesome or a huge letdown, because there was a lot of rest on that, you know.
So basically, take all that hype.
It's important. Hold on. I'm sorry, Patrick. Mm-hmm. It's important to separate, too, is that there's a lot of people that were excited from Game Informer's description of the quest line mm-hmm. and separately of the mm-hmm. weapon.
That's true.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, we've known about this weapon, and there are varying levels of hype that have been put into a crock pot and then set to bake on that hype train, on various hype trains, fueled by nuclear power for 2 months. And so now people just immediately began searching for stuff. I bought a damn blacklight to look at the map in my collector's edition to see if there was any ultraviolet ink, because there might
be a thing. I also saw you purchased a custom aluminum foil hat as well.
Yes, I do, but that has no relevance on this. This is just to the government from actually talking to me.
Oh, nice.
I thought it was helping in finding the sleeper suit.
No, my bad. No.
an alien abduction.
So
if you guys missed that live stream with Holtzman, it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I got on my computer, if you don't mind me telling the story.
Yeah, go for it,
Patrick. I got on my computer to jump on and play Destiny, and I always have the monitor sitting next to each other, and I always check to see, you know, who's streaming on Planet Destiny so I can have them playing, and I kind of lurk in the background. And and I look over and it's it's Patrick. Did any of you two see him?
Oh, I did. Yeah. I randomly tuned in. No, somebody tweeted, "What the hell is Patrick doing?" So I tuned in.
Oh my god, it was so funny. And he's playing nonstop, looped over and over again. Because I listened for about a half an hour, and it was nonstop X-Files theme.
I found a 10-hour version of it.
You found a 10-hour version of the X-Files.
Why not? Because just search any song on YouTube for a 10-hour version, and chances are it'll be there.
Is that a thing?
Okay, so you had the...
That's a thing.
So they had
Pirates of the Caribbean 10-hour version. Theme
and running around, and the chat is just going bananas because they don't know what's going on. I jumped in, I said, "Hey, Patrick, what are you doing?" And everybody's like, "Pope, I think he needs help." You know, they're like asking me to get, you know, Briar and Tefty and Wally and do an intervention. They're worried about you.
Only because I put on a tinfoil hat and had to search for the
secrets. But you were mumbling to yourself, like, you know, if I passed you in that state on a subway, I would probably walk a little bit faster and hold my son.
Of course you would. I had a tinfoil hat on, Pope.
You found 7 dots. Yeah. And we're explaining how the 7 dots coincide with the 7th column. It was good stuff. It was good watching, Patrick.
Oh, my God.
That was literally me just be like, "Well, I could stream right now. And I just bought a new roll of tinfoil. Yeah, let's do that." Okay. Anyway, I need to go back to that tweet and then pick some people to ship the tinfoil to. Yeah, I tweeted out that I basically did a giveaway, and I'll give away rolls of tinfoil. But but back to the sleeper simulant thing.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
The start of this whole thing. When the game came out, everyone was searching for clues to this sleeper simulant. You know, the hype train's been going for 2 months solid. Everyone wants to know how to get this. I bought a black light because I heard there might be UV ink on it. Turns out there's not. I bought into the hype too. And then we had people, "Have you tried using, you know, Pocket Infinity in Rasputin's bunker to shoot the, to shoot the gate that opens up in his strike?" Like, the most off the wall things were, you know, being thought of. And for a little while there, I was like, okay, maybe some of this will make sense, maybe. But then, like, after the first week, I was like, "Look, a lot of this stuff, I really think this is going to be tied behind something that we have to, like, either progress towards, or it's going to be a time gate thing that Bungie just flips a switch." The only thing that we really had to go on was getting the D'Valin Dark Age fusion rifles. So we knew there was this thing that would probably lead to it. Magically, on Arms Day, the 7th of October, we log in and there is a quest entitled The First Firewall. This is different from a lot of the other stuff where we can data mine stuff, we can know what's coming. There was like one or two people that data mined on the search for the sleeper. Mm-hmm. There was some really cool stuff that they did, like figuring out that a lot of this stuff is relating to Hercules's like 12 ordeals or triumphs, or yeah, the 10 or 12, and the weapon is steeply based in that lore. You had to go run a mission, you got a thing, had to put in some passcodes.
Amazingly, those passcodes I think were discovered within 20 minutes on Reddit.
Yeah, they were discovered within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like about 2 hours later that I started seeing people going, hey, the order the knights spawn in is actually the order for the passcodes. Yep. So the knights spawn in a very particular order that coincides with the codes. And if you put in all the codes correctly, you get access to a new mission. It's basically Cade's secret stash, but it's a time trial run where you have to get to the top of it. And then you get the Ikelos fusion core from that. It's like a mystery. It doesn't tell you exactly what you need. One of the things is you have to dismantle a legendary heavy weapon. If you were paying attention, you might have been able to guess it. Final stuff was Warsats on Mars, which, again, you had to know your mythology to really understand just by looking at the you know, one line of text mm-hmm. that it told you.
Well, Warsat on Earth, Mars.
Yeah, Warsat on Earth, Mars, and the moon.
Yeah.
So if you did all five of those things and put it into, and like, got your items, you know, put it into the Ikelos Fusion Core, you then turned it into the gunsmith who's like, hey, this is really cool. I'm going to go show it to the weapons foundries. And then the quest just ended there. So we were like, okay, so what a lot of us thought was it's probably going to be another time gate where we have to wait until Arms Day because he mentioned the weapon foundries.
Yep.
Turns out on the next reset, next daily reset, a new thing popped up for us and we essentially had to go run. So then we had to go run the Saber Strike on level 42 difficulty. It is matchmaking, fortunately. And after that, you get a sleeper simulant frame. And after that, I was like, oh, well, awesome. I wonder what we're going to have to do. You go to the gunsmith, boom, you got your weapon.
Yeah.
Done.
He remembered.
Done.
He's like, oh yeah, this is how you put it together.
Yeah, he just remembered. He cobbled it together with some like tin foil and from all the hats. The prevailing opinion from what I've read from the community is that the quest line is really underwhelming.
I kind of agree. Once you got that frame, I really thought that there was going to be more things to do and it was going to be fun. Like maybe another code, maybe more, you know, war sets that you got to go get.
More Rasputin stuff.
More Rasputin, exactly. More, maybe another mission with Rasputin. Maybe you get to have some sort of dialogue with him directly or something. Instead, that was it. And it's also tough to keep in mind that the fusion rifle relics that you picked up in the beginning are technically part of this quest line. So
yes, they are.
So there is like an extended beginning that you didn't even mm-hmm. realize that you were doing the quest line, essentially. So you do have to kind of keep that in mind, that maybe that the Bungie developers were thinking about that. But overwhelmingly for me, I was like, huh, okay. That was way easier than the sword, than, I mean, even Chaperone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They came really close with this one, I think.
Yes.
I think the problem was is that they gave away those Devolin, you know, old fusion rifles. They gave those out without telling us what they were, so it didn't mm-hmm. feel special when we had them. You know, it
felt like you were just turning them into a gunsmith rep, because like, oh, you get a rep for this? Cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep.
It's almost a forgotten part of the mm-hmm. quest, and mm-hmm. that was a mistake. That should have been incorporated into the quest better. Then they had two really good parts of the quest. I really liked the first mission where you got to fight the knights, and then I really liked the second mission where you got to climb the rocket. I thought both of those were good. Timing that rocket climb was really fun. You felt frantic. You know, you get a little bit of vertigo while you're up there. I don't know if you guys jumped to that platform where the Taken Phalanx had knocked you off the first time. I came around mm-hmm. there with a charged up shotgun ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I like that part. And then I hit the Warsat part, and I absolutely hated that part.
Oh, that was brutal.
That is not, in no way is that an acceptable quest line to me. In no way.
No.
I waited for 3.5 hours for the Earth
Damn.
One. Went to Earth, then I flew to Mars because the next one was going to be at Mars. Then I flew back to Earth, then I flew to the Moon because the next one was going to be at the Moon. I nailed the Mars ones and the Moon one really quick. Then I spent 3.5 hours waiting at potential public event places. I think the most boring thing I've ever done in a video game. I mean, it was awful. I was legitimately pissed off. To wake up today and get the Saber Strike, I'm like, okay, this is back to being fun. And then it just ended and you get the gun, which is great to get an exotic gun. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so abrupt after having so many steps yesterday. Why didn't they just spread out those steps over multiple days? That didn't make any sense to me. And they wasted the Devulin fusion rifle cores. They wasted that because...
Well, what the hell is this? and you turn into the gunsmith, and then nothing happens after that. You get no prompt.
Right.
You don't get any, like, you get, I didn't even realize I got rep for it originally. That's a way that you can, like, farm stuff to grind up your gunsmith rep?
That's what I originally thought. Yeah. That's what I originally thought it was for.
Like, I was like, oh, if I can just get more of those, maybe I can get up to rank 5 really soon, or rank 4 really soon. No, there's a set amount that can drop for you, and then you're done with them. I'm not necessarily sure if time gating it even further would be the correct way to go about it, but I definitely feel that there needs to be. It feels like the quests
what I was going to say is then you have to find those fusion rifles as part of the quest, mm-hmm. so you know what you're doing. You get excited when you see them. Totally erase the Warsat thing because that was awful. And then after you complete that part of the quest, you can do the final part and get the fusion rifle.
Tyson Green, one of the design leads at Bungie, the response to the sleeper stimulant was humbling because we did not predict the community reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the ways that they're approaching this is looking at how players play the game versus the way the designer designs the game. It's just like cheesing a raid, right? There's the way that the game is designed to be played, the way that the designer plays the game for the experiment, for the experience that they wish the player to have. Ultimately, the players are going to play it the way that they play it.
Right.
And you need to be cognizant of the fact that people are going to be playing this game differently than the way you designed it. And I'm sure they designed the sleeper simulant to come out in a way that each individual player would challenge themselves through puzzles. You know, there's raids are physical puzzles mixed with some teamwork puzzles. And this was an individual style puzzle, or at least it was thought of or probably put together in that way. They expected people to approach it like that, you know, and you can't force somebody to play chess. You have to expect them that on that same board that they're going to play checkers.
I agree, Pope, that I think the first part of that was really cool. And it kind of like going into a raid blind, it would have been really rewarding. And that's awesome. But the mm-hmm. Warsat part is unforgivable in my opinion. It's awful to sit and wait for something to happen.
Waiting for the Warsats.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the mission where you're trying to defend the Warsat. Like, I thought that was, you know, like you at the one of the missions where the Warsat is to get into the bunker.
Saber strike. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was cool as hell, man.
Hard. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going on patrol and just waiting for a random event to happen.
Yeah, it's just RNG.
Okay.
One of possible random events. That was my biggest gripe too.
Yep.
I was really fortunate that I pretty much only had to do it like two times on each location for it to finally mm-hmm. pop. So, you know, that was all of 45 minutes spent. I spent 3 hours with one of my friends on Mars trying to get a Warsat to spawn.
Mars for me was the problem.
Yeah, Mars was the biggest problem for a lot of people in the community mm-hmm. because it could spawn in 3 different locations. But each one of those locations had like 3 other things that could spawn, or it was heavily weighted towards a kill the target bounty.
Every time I saw the kill the target come out, I'd be like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Good news is you probably killed a lot of the Taken dudes and might have gotten some exotic engrams if you had your 3 of coins around.
I just put the game on autopilot and I was like, when I'd see the screen darken, I'd go back to the game.
I think that's what he's talking about. That's what they're looking at. Yeah.
There was a strong backlash from the community saying, well, it's a one-day event. I didn't get a mm-hmm. chance to do it, or mm-hmm. I didn't know about it, and I could totally miss out on it until the next time.
That's my biggest problem with it as well, is that a lot of people were asking me, well, I didn't have time to get the Warsats yesterday. Just from the people that actually knew about this damn thing.
Yeah.
Or could actually do it because they didn't know about the Dvalin Fusion cores. That's the thing is, those guys were like the first things I got, you know, after the tweets of like, hey, you can get this thing now. I was like, can I still get it if I didn't get my Iculus Fusion core finished yesterday? And the answer to that was no. You cannot get it today. We don't know when that will be available. We just don't know as of recording mm-hmm. right now. Hopefully it's on a daily reset where it's like, oh, you finished the iClose Fusion Core. Cool. Here you go.
So on a surface level of a secret, like before the internet secret type of video game, when you discovered something in, say, Zelda, Like, that was a monumental secret for you.
I can play the Song of Time and then cause the sign I just cut down to reform. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That is some legendary gaming experience that you feel that happens from that. And if you did not have the internet, and then, I mean, it's, which is impossible because the game is on the internet, but let's just say you didn't read any of the forums or anything, and then discovered that, I mean, your mind would be blown. You would be on cloud nine for discovering that.
But another thing is, you would also have no idea what you did.
That's true.
To get that thing to form. It's not a repeatable action, and part of a rewarding sense of satisfaction in gaming is knowing what you did to accomplish something.
That's true. Yeah.
Like I
agree. Yeah.
And with like this was basically just the thing I hated about yesterday was I got a ton of questions from. Hey, the quest didn't pop up for me. What did I not do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing apparent there aside from those fusion rifles.
What was
things.
The consensus?
And there are like some the people.
Rifles? And there's no way to count.
There's no way to count those things. Yeah. And another thing is, like, I was getting reports that some people had only turned in like two, some people turned in three, some people, and they were able to get it. Some people, did turn in two or three and weren't able to get it. Some people. Like, there were a lot of conflicting reports coming in. I don't know how true those are, mm-hmm. but there needed to be more transparency in that you were starting something and you had to progress to this point for it to become available or for a roadblock to be reached and then for this thing to come up.
Yeah.
That's where Bungie really failed here.
Yeah.
And in my eyes. The other thing was...
They were close.
They were really close. They were so close. I have to, like... If I read about doing this quest and some of the stuff was like just ever so slightly tweaked, I'd be like, this sounds cool as shit. Like if getting that first fusion rifle to drop for you, you know, 3 weeks ago caused a quest to prompt up in your system and go, hey, you should go collect other fusion rifles on not on various locations, but at least track the fusion rifles that you get so you know you're working towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've collected one of four.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tyson's talking about as identifying how they communicate that to the community is one of their goals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the same experience you guys had. I was stuck on Mars for a couple hours, but to be honest with you, I was with friends. And we did patrols and ran around and, you know, it was fun. We killed the Taken King and we made a day out of it. The only, what you explained to me that, I hadn't thought about is those people that really felt like, hey, I didn't have time to do this.
Yeah. And that's something I feel like you have to take into account when designing something for gamers.
Which was,
for gamers.
I thought, like one of the strengths of the Black Spindle thing is you could get in there. Give it a couple tries in the 45 minutes.
You knew it was available that day because we found out about it. And every time you know that mission comes up in the day, well, cool. When we all get home, we have an hour. Let's see if we can knock it out.
Yeah.
Because it takes about 15 minutes to do it.
And here's the thing that I'm okay with. And I've been on the losing end of this when I'm at work. I work a 12 hour day, you know, I get home and sometimes I can't work. I can't play Destiny. And,
Or you're just too damn tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've been on the losing end of this, but philosophically, I'm going to argue that it's okay if we miss something. As long as it's coming back around and we can be excited about it. I think it's okay. But I agree with you. The tightening up the way that those quests look so that, you know, RNG isn't like the determining factor of, you know, grinding and making it as to whether or not you get the loot. Yeah, I don't see that. I would like it based on puzzles and creativity and your own ability to challenge yourself and get through like hard elements, you know, like the saber strike. Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. So yeah,
I really liked the missions and the strikes of this. I thought they were really inventive. I really liked that there was a puzzle to it. I don't think it was presented really well, and I really didn't like the Warsat part, and I really didn't like that you had to finish it all in one day.
Yep.
Well, Patrick, I went out and I tested it on the Cosmodrome. I was taking down Shanks with one shot, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Shanks with one shot?
God. Oh, yeah, no problem.
Dude, that's a good use of that 7 ammo that you have.
Oh yeah, I could take on seven of them if I was really
if they shot. Lined up.
Dude, Zer, Zer
overall though,
is
I gotta
get
say I don't like the weapon because it just takes too long to take down those.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there. I hear what you're saying there, Pope, and you know, I hear what you're saying there, Briar. And what I'm gonna say is, I'd like to wait to review the weapon until you know I've used it. I'm waiting to review this weapon a little bit because one, it's at 290. I'm going to have to get this thing up to at least like light level 300 to get an idea of the damage this thing's going to do. We have an idea now, but light level is a huge determining factor in the way we review weapons now. And I think it's in Sleeper Simulant's case, since it is a heavy weapon and it's one that we want to actually, you know, we want to bring it out to do a crap ton of damage and just like that one hit from the community. We've seen a lot of people are like, this thing is underwhelming as hell.
Yeah.
And I think that relates back to the whole, this is Gjallarhorn's competition thing that Game Informer did from a while back.
I'm actually pretty enthused with it. I was using it today, you know, like you said, not at all ready to give it a review, but I was having a lot of fun with it. If you can crit like a, you know, like a big guy, you know, one of the bosses at the end of a strike.
An ultra?
Yeah, an ultra. You do big damage, and you do it without putting yourself out there too bad. You know, it's similar to using a rocket launcher. A rocket launcher is a little easier because you can just aim it, wait for that lock on, shoot it, and kind of get back to cover. This is a little different. You gotta
put yourself out there.
Charge it up. Yeah, you gotta charge it up, put yourself out there.
I'm a firing
laser. Then you can go back. But it's doing massive damage, and it does hit crits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different than any other fusion rifle that I know
yes.
of.
Well, I mean, it's basically like they're like, hey guys, Queenbreaker's bow isn't coming to year two, but it's coming to year two in the form of a heavy weapon now.
Right.
I took it into the War Priest with, you know, four other people, and we during the damage phase of War Priest, we only had five people in there, and all of ours were at 290. And we still got War Priest down to half health just using sleeper simulants. And we ran out of ammo during that damage phase too. So
that was in one damage
phase. One damage phase below half health using sleeper simulant.
That's right up there with Black Spindle.
I mean, it's right up there with Black Spindle in terms of overall damage. Once we see it fully upgraded, I imagine we'll start to really see its true damage potential.
Yep.
But there are some, I'm just going to come out right out and say it. The amount of ammo you can carry is too damn low. Bungie, you have an obsession with the number 7, and I love you for it. That's cool that you stick to your guns on the number 7, but 7 shots in this thing is too damn low.
Yeah.
I want it at least at 9 so you can have 3 full magazines.
If you use old raid armor that has the heavy ammo perk,
the armor, the fusion rifle bonus armor does not affect it. But the reload speed of fusion rifle armor does affect it. So it's weird. Okay. It's like it's bugged.
Yeah, I do think that's definitely bugged then.
I agree.
The old heavy ammo perk does help it, but that doesn't help me in PvE.
No, not at all.
How is it different than each individual damage laser puts up the numbers that about a rocket launcher would?
It puts up a little bit better.
A little bit better. Yeah.
If it's a crit,
we
I
want
believe,
ammo...
Right?
We if want ammo. We want more ammo than we would get if we had a rocket launcher.
Well, here's the thing: rocket launcher, shoot it, does splash damage to everything. This one will do damage to a single source and bounce around and maybe hit something else. It ain't gonna hit much else once it goes through that target, unless it just has like a hand of God.
It's gonna bounce once. It's gonna bounce once.
No, it bounces more than once if you fully upgrade it. Chances are those bounces are probably not going
to
hit anything.
Really difficult to time.
you can't really predict those bounces because it doesn't work on the normal by the normal physics bouncing things. Say you hit a body shot, it will do about the same. Like it's so close right now. I need to actually look at my footage and see what the damage is looking like. And it's pretty much the same damage as a rocket launcher. You hit a precision shot, and it is noticeably more.
I mean, it's like 3,000 more.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm honestly okay with a exotic heavy weapon that requires some skill to shoot.
Oh yeah.
It's the antithesis of the Gjallarhorn. Mm-hmm. how basic was it just to pull the trigger?
I mean, didn't even have to aim the damn thing because it had proximity detonation. It had
tracking and proximity and everything else in the world.
Fun to use.
Yep, it is fun.
It's cool as hell to look at.
It sounds awesome. It's basic,
sounds awesome.
It's basically an EDM gun. You pull the trigger and you hear this that pops up. Your entire screen shakes, by the way, when you're charging the weapon up, even if you're not aiming down sights. Like if you're hip firing this thing, your whole screen shakes. So it's very reminiscent of the Spartan laser. Your character's ears ring. Like there's this that goes on after you fire it.
Yeah.
Like using the weapon is just fun. Yep. It's so cool. It's so cool to use it. I want fusion rifle increase to affect it.
Once somebody gets this thing upgraded to 310, put some video out there. That's what I want to see. I want to see what kind of DPS this thing can do. Is there going to be a spot for it in my inventory? Because right now, the Black Spindle does massive DPS. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to... Mm-hmm. Like when you're on Golgoroth or you're on something that just requires a ton of DPS, it's hard to go with anything
else. I mean, a full ammo like reserve is 23 shots. It does so much per crit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you're a good shot, it's easily... going to outclass the sleeper assimilant if the damage numbers don't produce that much more once it hits 310.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the thing with Black Spindle is, I mean, it's just damage. It's just boom, boom, boom.
Constant damage.
Boom, damage, constant hammering damage from that thing without reloading. The Black Spindle is a clear monster for damage.
Yep.
It also requires that precision shooting to make it really good. You know how there's this class called Sunbreaker and they're unkillable gods?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this thing just craps all over them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a race to try and shoot him before
he throws a hammer.
Hits you with a hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can hear him charge up his hammer from,
you hear it, but, you know... He can throw that hammer instantly. You gotta see him pull the trigger and then keep your sights on him to kill him. But
And have heavy ammo.
Yeah. The tears when you just incinerate him with this gun. it's very fun. Very fun weapon to use. It's honestly not viable. You get 4 shots standard, which I think is the perfect number for PvP. Aim assistance on this thing is really dumb. Like I've had multiple instances where I'm just like, okay, just gonna pull the trigger here and fire. Okay, I guess my sight was on that guy. It wasn't really on that guy, but I guess it was worthy enough to get, you know, to get a headshot. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I noticed that the pull.
Everybody's had intense. That experience with shooting a hand cannon at a phalanx, mm-hmm. and you know you're hitting them in the arm or in the leg,
mm-hmm.
but your bullets are hitting them in the shield. Mm-hmm. That's the aim assistance, just pulling those bullets over to where they think they ought to go.
Oh, yeah.
This gun does the same thing. It's like that level of aim assistance. It's extreme aim assistance.
Which, the way that I have mine like set up right now is just maximize the range. Plug the Crucible Radio podcast here real quick. If you guys haven't started listening to that and you're interested in Crucible, it's an entirely dedicated Crucible podcast. We host it on our YouTube channel as well. They had John Wisniewski. I think that's
great.
Okay. Wisniewski on, who is one of the lead sandbox designers from Bungie. And they asked him about range. What the hell does it mean? What is aim assistance? All that stuff. We have a little snippet of it on the YouTube channel as well. And we learned that range is a very important stat now. Like range will now affect your aim assistance. Range will affect like the cone that the weapon kind of fires out in. It's a very important stat to look for. It shouldn't be so important that, you know, you're sacrificing everything else for it, but it should be noted that you're going to have a much better shooting experience if you have a good range stat on a weapon.
Mm-hmm. This is a big change for update 2.0 because it was essentially a useless stat before.
It didn't matter. It clearly didn't matter because both the Last Word and Hawkmoon were capable of sniping people at the same ranges.
Yeah.
Sniper rifles. There were all these perks where I was recommending, look, if there's a perk that says it'll cut down your range to nothing, but it'll give you like max stability, go for it. because range doesn't matter on sniper rifles. They don't have damage fall off. No weapon had damage fall off.
Not yet. Noticeable.
Well, aside from like shotguns. Well,
none of the maps, at least in PvP or the engagements, were really considered medium to far, and those maps were taken out early on in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You would go from like the really long sniping hallways on Bastion. Or not hallways, like just the long cross map snipes, and I'd still like hit people in the head for 412 instead of 417 with my LDR.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, if I try to cross map someone on what is it, Crossroads?
Yep.
With that big long gap with the man cannons, I'm only doing like 300 to the head if I hit him, and only 111 to body. Like that is a huge damage fall off.
If you had luck in the chamber on that sniper rifle, you'd be right back.
Yeah, we'll save that for a little bit later, Briar. We'll save that rant because I'm going to go off on that. So yeah, sleeper simulant, really fun weapon to use. I think the community does need to hold off a little bit on calling it bad.
Yeah,
because it does do really good damage. It does do good damage if you hit precision shots.
Yeah, if you hit a precision, you are doing more damage than a regular rocket launcher. So
now
that is something to consider.
Now I haven't done the math. We have not done the math yet because the weapon's only been out for a few hours at this point, and it's not. None of us have it at 310, so I might have to like level up some exotic swords on all my other characters, and then just use those to level this thing up. But I really think that once this thing is at 310, it will be comparable to a lot of the other high damage things out there. It'll
at least be in the conversation.
It will be in the conversation because it's very good at single target damage. The bounce thing is a novelty and will be hilarious in PvP videos if you can get a bounce kill on someone. That's where that perk being used. I do not see it being, at all in the conversation for actually a plus on this weapon if you can use it.
I don't want it to be a Galahorn either. I don't want it to be mandatory to have a gun in my loadout. I don't want the Black Spindle to be mandatory in my loadout. I don't want the Defiance of Yasmin or the Sleeper Simulant to be mandatory in my loadout. I want to have options. That's one of the strengths of this game. So I do want it to do good damage, but I want it to be kind of comparable with the Black Spindle so that I have a choice between those two guns.
I think Defiance of Yasmin plus Sleeper Simulant is still a really good combination to have because you can... You can, hit those four really quick headshots on War Priest, switch to Sleeper Simulant, and then, charge off a full mag, reload, switch back to Defiance of Yasmin. You have your reload from Cocoon.
Yeah.
And you can keep that damage up. Now, is that as, I don't know, someone with more patience and know-how, than me, we'll probably do the math and see is Black Spindle better than doing that. The chances are, it probably will because it's continuous damage. Yeah. But in case you don't have Black Spindle, this could probably be a pretty comparable loadout to it.
Well, also just like you said, if you're using two weapons and you're swapping, then the damage numbers are definitely going to be better with Defiance plus a Sleeper Simulant reload phase. I think it's definitely going to be better than a Black Spindle in that case, but compared to a full mag of Sleeper Simulant versus a full mag of or not full mag but a full ammo reserve of Black Spindle, I think Black Spindle is definitely going to win.
No, Black Spindle wins absolutely. Especially because we can't reliably increase Sleeper Simulant's ammo capacity right now,
which could be bugged. But also I want to point out,
I'm pretty sure it's bugged.
I also want to point out that right now you can't get rockets at 7, right? Unless you're using Truth, which is 8. Everything else like maxes at 6 or 7, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely aware.
Because they
haven't touched rocket launchers because I have my bolt caster.
Right.
It
seems like they brought down the actual ammo count on that stuff.
I definitely feel they did.
Yeah, so that's another perk, essentially, in year 2 for this weapon, is that it's 7... rocket caliber precision shots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to consider.
Definitely. Yeah. So hopefully they can get the fusion rifle thing working increase the ammo, because that's really my only real complaint with this thing right now. It has a just too low of an ammo capacity to for me to use it as much as I want to right now, because getting PvE footage for this thing right now is a bitch.
Going through ammo synths. Up.
Like, you use an ammo synth, I'm going through these things like coffee paper. Yeah. Ammo synths. They're just you use one, and I fire off 7 shots really quick, and I'm like, well, boss is at half health now. Hope I can get some, heavy ammo from these ads.
You know what would be a really cool drop is, you know how the bosses now have like special drops and strikes? Mm-hmm. Is if the Saber would drop boots that just had sleeper simulant ammo on.
Whoa, that would be awesome.
Or just fusion rifle, and they fix the damn perk.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was specific for the sleeper, like the two went together, that'd be really cool. It'd have to be on each character, so you'd have to have 3 different sets of boots, but it'd be cool.
Okay, I just suddenly hated that idea now, Briar.
Well, if it gave more than just 3.
Grinding
like,
the
let's
Saber.
Say it doubled. Let's say it doubled the ammo to like 14 shots total. I mean, that would be worth it then. But if it was only though for sleeper simulant, not fusion rifles,
Yeah, if it was only for sleeper simulant, then that would be a very powerful perk.
Yeah,
because 14, I can tell you 14 shots in this thing. You know that big ogre that's he takes a lot of damage.
Yeah,
3 shots to kill him.
How many eyes were active though?
Do you know? I stacked it to 3. I stacked it to 3.
So 3. Okay. Nice.
I stacked a 3, which that'll take like I think 6 or not 6 like 8 sniper shots from my 1,000-yard stare to down him at that point.
Nice.
But I mean, this was just like, and I say it's 3 shots, but really it was 2 shots, and then I could have just switched to my sniper and then finished off the sliver of health that he had left. It was a massive amount of damage.
Yeah.
That it was dealing on him, and then pretty much half health the boss with the remaining ammo and the heavy. In the right circumstances, if you can hit your precision shots with this thing, it's very rewarding and it will melt targets.
So we heard some news about shotguns in the weekly update today.
Hallelujah.
They are addressing shotguns. They're making a very small adjustment, but I think it's a very welcome adjustment. They're removing shot package from all shotguns that have it.
Thank God.
They are gonna replace it with one of 3 other perks.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking for
it's
perks
the perks
right
are
now.
Crowd controls,
crowd control,
crowd control.
Go ahead.
Knee pads and close and or personal. That last close and or personal is one perk. It's not 2 perks. So basically, you get your option of a really good PvE perk, a really good movement based PvP perk, or a kind of a both.
You don't get an option.
You don't get an option. It just happens. So, may R and Jesus be on your side and hope you get something good.
Right. So this is obviously an attempt to pull back on shotguns in the Crucible a little bit. And it's going to allow Bungie to look at shotguns without that perk and see if they need further adjustment. And possibly if they can recalibrate the effective range, after that, they may re-add shot package after that, but it sounds like they just need to pull shot package out so they can actually see what the range of these shotguns is without it, and then they can make adjustments after that.
Yeah, they have to see how the player base is going to react to it at this point, because it's one of the main reasons why those really powerful shotguns are so powerful, is that if their spread was... I think many podcasts ago, I was like, look, the Fellwinner's Lie arc type of shotguns is a problem because they just do so much more damage. And they do so much damage because a lot of people are running them with shot package to make sure those high damage pellets will hit your targets. If that's more spread out now, we'll see people living.
Yeah, through, a lot more often.
At least living. And being able, because usually the frustrating thing about Fellwinner's Lie is, or those shotguns is, you can use your primary and you're challenging them because maybe you can't challenge them with your secondary auto ammo, whatever the situation is. And you get them down to that health where they're almost dead. They're just almost dead. And then they finally get in range. They hit you. You're dead. So maybe now you'll be able to live through that, and you'll be able to finish them off before they, God hand you with their you know, stupid storm caller range with their melee.
Not digging those other subclasses, are you?
Well, no, I think the melee range. Callers. I think the melee range of Stormcaller is a little bit broken for the amount of damage that it does. But that's a topic for another discussion.
So everybody's on board with this. It sounds like. See you, shot package. Yeah. Nice to know you. I guess
it's just too many shotguns in the Crucible. It's just too many.
I want to be that guy that can. We really need Wally here just so he can play devil's advocate. But and I want to play devil's advocate right now, but I'm just bad at it because I've cursed shotguns under my breath for too long.
I can be a devil's advocate.
Okay, go for it. Be devil's advocate. Defend shotguns.
Right. As devil's advocate, I totally agree with this nerf.
That's not how you play devil's advocate.
Oh, okay. Shoot. Okay, let me try again. All right. As the devil's advocate, I think its use in PvE hasn't been addressed here.
That's a good point.
Do people use it in PvE?
It's still a very solid perk because you can go reliably hit more precision pellets.
Yeah, and this is going to make...
I don't look for it at all in PvE. I look for a full auto and guns that fire fast. I don't care about the range.
Well, I mean, shot package can help, though. Like, if you want to do crits, like, shot package helps with critting a lot with it. So, yeah, it is a thing that's happening right now as shotguns get nerfed in the Crucible, their PvE experience seems to keep on getting take a hit. And that isn't right. So maybe Bungie needs to take a step back and fix that. It'd be nice.
I think that they need to address that even further with how they've taken a look at... On some guns, they've been very selective in saying, okay, this is how we're going to treat this archetype in Crucible, and then this is... And we're going to treat it this way in PvE.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that with some of the guns that we know that they are treating them separately. I honestly, and I go back to the same argument, I understand the importance of you saying, okay, this is my character, and, you know, philosophically, Bungie wants you to say, I'm going to take my character into anywhere in this world, and I don't want physics to be different in this world as in this world, but they've already kind of cracked the door open with some of the stuff. So, I mean, you can't be half pregnant.
Yep.
And I think that they need to just pull the trigger, no pun intended, and separate guns so that we can have PvE guns that are fantastic and overpowered and you feel amazing using them and you can, you know, you can run around like a badass and, you know, that would be amazing. But that does not make a PvP experience. That ruins it. So, you know, there you go. I think they just need to, you know, realize that they're not the same and treat them differently. Yeah. And I think people will adjust.
Absolutely. If I understand you there, Pope, like, what you just said was you want there to be clearly defined PvE weapons and then clearly defined PvP weapons?
No, I want there to be modifiers okay. that are applied to weapons in PvE and different modifications that are done in PvP.
You want the actual sandbox to change?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that is something that they're already toying with. They've kind of played around with it. Now they just got to.
Well, they already did that with Touch Malice. Touch Malice, instead of doing double damage, it did. It went from 45 to 61 or 62 on the crit. That's like, you know, that's significantly different from,
exactly. And it made it not really a god weapon in PvP.
No,
right?
It's more of a, hey, cool, I have infinite bullets in PvP.
Right. So I think that that goes back to my point. You know, at some point they got to recognize that they're half in and half out. Just decide that we're going to create a different sandbox for the PvE side and the PvP side. Then, and only then, can we actually make balanced PvP matches where competitive Destiny games are being played, because these guns will have been tuned for their competition in PvP. Yeah. And we won't get these right now. I feel all we're doing is getting the Destiny community to fight amongst each other. And every time there's a forum post or something, you can almost sense where somebody's coming from. Are they a PvP, you know, centered player, or are they PvE, and what position they take on this? And I think that they could solve a lot of problems
This is actually something that World of Warcraft had a very difficult time with. In the start of the game, the best way to be a good PvPer was to also be in a top PvE guild and clear through the raids every single week and get the best gear from there. So then you can just power through PvP and then get the absolute best PvP rewards that were a little bit more geared to that. So for 99.9% of the player base, you were doing PvE to PvP. If you were a sole PvPer, people could usually tell because your gear was crap, but you were a solid player that was held back by your gear. And then over the course of, it took them pretty much 10 years, 10 or 11 years to finally go, okay, we're just going to make it so this is how your character performs in PvP. This is how it performs in PvE. I think the next expansion that's coming out is finally doing that.
It's not actually official.
No, it's still theoretical. They're going through with it. They are going through with it.
Wow.
They've already, that's what they're going to go through with. And they did so many things along the way to try to balance this. They ended up doing, okay, we're going to come out with gear that is only going to be good in PvP because it has these stats that will apply to only PvP that'll affect your performance against other players. It's called like resilience. Yeah. And
no, but Tefty's pointing out that this is the growing pains that Destiny's having.
Yeah, we're seeing pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the biggest overall change that happened to WoW that people always hated was nerfing classes based on their PvP performance, and it carried over to their PvE performance. That's the thing.
Hear, yeah, man. That's why
most difficult thing that they had to deal with. And eventually it took them just going, okay, we're done trying to balance these two things together, because it's very clear that they just can't be.
Yeah.
They absolutely cannot be. In a game that has both PvE and PvP, it's just not possible. So you need to separate them and make that a very clear distinction,
mm-hmm.
or else you're going to have this 10-year-long process of frost mages going, hey, we're gods.
Can I ask you a question about this? Because mm-hmm. I want to make sure I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
For instance, if you were a Stormcaller in PvP, your melee may go half as far as it does in PvE?
Yes. Yes.
That would make a lot of sense.
No.
Why not?
It could be that's not the level of change that should happen. It would basically be, you know how popping,
so Stormcallers would get hit. You're saying that like certain aspects.
There needs to be a very clear distinction of like, okay, unfortunately, this is where Bungie's going to have to start bending where they normally are. Like, we don't want to show information. We don't want to show damage. We don't want to show numbers, because that gets too much for players. They're going to have to start bending the rules if they adopt this system as well. Because say for the Stormcaller talent, where your shield breaks and then it does an AoE effect, it would say it will do this much damage in PvE and it will do this much damage in PvP. So you can expect to know, so you can expect the difference and then plan for it according to that.
Okay, so I like that, but if you change
the range... that is not what should happen. That's not what should happen, because then you're going to have a different idea.
The way you explained it, I agree with you, Patrick. I jumped to conclusions.
Yeah. Basically, like, if a player has to account for, in PvE, I have this much range with my melee, and in PvP, I have less range, it's too hard to switch between. It makes it too difficult. That's not how it should be done. They just need to do what Pope said, and they need to make that distinction between, but then they need to make that distinction very clear by actually showing us not necessarily the damage, not necessarily like, this is exactly how much damage you're getting, because holy shit, looking at all those tables and WoW was one of the worst parts about the game for me. why does it say I'm doing 2,000 damage, but then I hit this guy for 28,000? What the hell does that mean? So not necessarily doing that, but like for talents and things like that, where it says it's going to do damage, increase damage, things like that, it needs to be incredibly apparent that it will do this in PvP, and this in PvE. Mm-hmm. So moving back to the
I'm on board with this as long as they don't change the way the character feels. You know, if Blink is overpowered, that Blink needs to get changed in PvE and PvP because it needs to feel the same.
No matter where I'm
using it. If I'm using a Stormcaller and everybody's upset that Stormcaller's melee hits too hard from too far, it's still got to have the same range for a hit in PvP and PvE.
It could just lower
the amount of damage.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Back to shot package. This is a nerf that is entirely based upon PvP.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. That is why this is getting changed. My playstyle is being affected by PvP. Right. And
so this one, though, would be super hard to... It'd be hard to independently have this work in PvP or PvE and not in PvP because it actually changes the shot pattern of the weapon.
Correct. That's something that Bungie kind of just worked themselves into a corner there. There's
That's why rangefinder's still there.
Yeah. There's no good way to make that PvE PvP distinction that we were talking about with this perk. Off the top of my head, for the podcast purpose, there isn't really a method that you can do. For that.
Well, the gun would feel different. It would shoot differently.
Yeah, it would be fundamentally different.
Do you guys want to talk about luck in the chamber on that one? I actually bought two of those packages. I bought the one with luck in the chamber, and I kept one to see if a different roll with comes up next week or the week after.
I mean, the silver lining is that the scopes are bad for PvP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's a really good PvE sniper.
Yes, you're right.
It is.
That's why I bought it. It's the same reason I always kept my final round Ephrodite spear with six in the chamber or six rounds in the magazine. That thing was just the ultimate legendary sniper rifle. If you know, assuming the Black Hammer wasn't your go-to,
we're not fooled, Briar. We know why you're keeping it. You're power leveling that bitch right now, and you're gonna have that thing ready for trials for sure.
Yeah, so whatever. So
I mean, I'm not saying no. Okay, so
hilarious.
Real reason that we're talking about this weapon is it's in the LDR archetype of weapons.
No,
the tooltip is bugged.
It's bugged.
It's bugged.
Okay.
So just get that out there as well.
Did not know that.
And the stat actually does show that there is more there. Like when you look it up in the. In the database, but for practical senses, it doesn't do more damage. It is both a bug tooltip and a bugged stat from what we can tell. That's what I'm reading over in the Crucible playlist, and those guys seem to know their shit when it comes to weapon stats.
Well, isn't it?
Okay,
I thought it hit for like 181 on a headshot. I could be wrong.
I can't remember. But anyway. This is an LDR class weapon with luck in the chamber. If you want to do the basic math, that means if luck in the chamber procs in a body shot, a PvP player is one shot.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's got four rounds.
It has four rounds.
Yeah.
So
it's a one,
one in 25 chance.
One in four chance.
Or not 125. It's a 1/4 chance. 25% chance.
And there's an audible ring when luck in the chamber hits.
I hope they...
So it's not inconceivable... to hear people firing this thing off at the beginning of a Crucible match, and if they don't hear it in the first two shots, then they know they got a 50% chance.
I don't know about you, but luck in the chamber seems bugged to me, where it always applies on the first round.
No, I haven't had that experience.
This might only be to this one shotgun that I have, but I have a shotgun on my Warlock that has luck in the chamber on it, and every first shot has bonus damage. Single first shot. Wow. I reload it to full, shoot one shot, I hear the ring. I reload one shot, hear the ring. Every single time. And it actually does have that increased damage as well associated with it. Mm. It might just be associated with that one shotgun. It just might be a... I have you know, the god shotgun. But,
I find this to be incredibly frustrating because we finally got rid of final round on snipers.
Bungie admitted final round snipers should not be a thing in PvP. Yeah. Right? Like that is a nerf that happened because of PvP. And I agree. That final round thing should have, for the amount of damage it did, you should have something else associated with it. So it will only proc on a precision shot That's perfect. This luck in the chamber thing is basically Bungie saying, okay, so we know we messed up with final round, but we're going to ignore that.
Yeah.
And then do this.
This is a new perk for sniper.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of the new final round.
Because it's a problem. I mean, you can't have that just happening in the Crucible all the time. Until guaranteed an arms day is going to show up with luck in the chamber with one of these sniper rifles, and it's going to have the low zoom scope, and then suddenly everybody's going to have it.
Yeah, I'm really, really hoping. When we were at E3 and then the Red Bull thing, and at the Red Bull thing, we were playing on the E3 build, we saw sniper rifles with luck in the chamber. And we were like, okay, this is the E3 build. This is from months and months and months ago. Surely they would have noticed this and gone, oh yeah, no, we don't want to do that again. It honestly perplexes me that Bungie has been really in tune with what needs to be nerfed weapon-wise. They hear the complaints that, yes, final round was utter bullshit and should never have been in the game, at least in that form. Mm-hmm. And then they put this in.
This is one of those situations where it clearly needs to be disabled for PvP and enabled for PvE, just straight up.
Or make that luck in the chamber shot only apply on precisions.
Yeah.
Precisions. Like,
awesome, too.
Like, it's something like that, because it...
For PvE, I love the fact
that it's great. Like, it's cool.
That's a really cool perk to have on your sniper rifle, and it's mm-hmm. a really cool PvE sniper
yeah,
rifle.
Yeah, no, it is.
The
it's
look
great.
Of it is really cool. The sight on it highlights targets that are within, like, that perfect range. It's a damn cool sniper rifle.
That the Aquila S4 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. I actually like the scope. I like the feel of it, and I
don't like it.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same camp. Also, just really enjoying the weapon itself and the sound of the Omalon mm-hmm. weapons and all that. And I was really excited about these, and then that freaking luck in the chamber.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, when you scope in with those scopes, all the Omalon scopes, like the center circle and then the parentheses around it, they're really pixelated. I've noticed a few
scopes where it seems like the texture map is really low resolution.
Yeah, it's really low resolution. I don't know why.
I'm just assuming it's because of last gen. Yeah. Packing the assets in for last gen. I'm just assuming.
Maybe, but I don't know, overlay textures like that. Yeah.
Have you guys kind of found your overall favorite weapon foundry yet?
Mm. Hake.
It's Hake for you, Patrick,
absolutely.
Right off the bat?
Absolutely. Right off the bat.
Tefty, have you kind of settled on a favorite?
I thought...
Spreading yourself thin.
I'm actually spreading myself, man. I'm definitely playing the fields. Like, I thought I was going to really like Hake and be like, that's my go-to. But both Omalon and Suros just have some really sexy weapons. Both, like, auto rifles, scouts, even that fusion rifle, which I'm usually not a fusion rifle fan, but the one that they dropped in Arms Day recently, that one, like, is also really fun and crazy high impact. Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When I find a DIS 47 drops, I'm like, oh man, is it gonna have full auto and hand laid stock? Oh my god!
I love that scout,
dude. It's incredible. I hate low impact scouts. I was like,
I hate them too.
Yeah, but I thought I was gonna hate it, and then I used it, and I've got one that has a hand laid stock on it.
Yeah, I got the hand laid stock, and then I think fitted stock on it with a
Me too.
Like that thing is. So much fun to use.
Yeah.
If you are capable of hitting precision shots with that thing, mm-hmm. it just melts people. I had
somebody destroying me in PvP with
so
that.
If you get full auto, really? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous with full auto and with hand laid stock and fitted stock and all that. So
that one roll with full auto?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think Intash has one. With like really? Perfect stability and full auto. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Why would RNG actually. Give Mtash that?
Because he's Canadian.
Okay, let's see. Possible rolls. Possible rolls.
We're getting a little late in this podcast, guys. You want to do some Twitter questions?
Yeah, sure. Wow, okay. Yeah, confirmed. It can roll with full auto.
Yeah, it's beast, man. If you get beast roll full auto handling stock on that, it is going to demolish.
Wow. I want.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Okay, yeah. Twitter questions. Let's go to those real quick.
All right. Shady asks, Etheric Light, what's up with Etheric Light, guys? Like, it's just sitting in our inventory.
And I don't know.
Doing nothing.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Yeah, I
bet you money Bungie's asking the same damn thing.
Yeah, like, why did we make this ascending thing? Now we have this crap to deal with.
I don't understand why they don't just let us turn it in for rep and be done with it.
Just give me 1,000 rep. That's
they're obviously saving it for something, so... At least I'm hoping. Otherwise, I'm hoping
they are.
Because he traded in for silver, maybe?
Let's not go down that road.
Oh, my God.
Let's not go down that road.
All right. Wooper asks, thoughts on if the Nightfall is worth doing or not?
No. Truthfully, no. Like it,
well, yes, I mean, it I've is. Gotten exotics out of it. I've gotten actually quite a few exotics out of it, but
no, I think it's
an exotic the first time you ran it.
I think it's worth doing because I enjoy the challenge.
If you're doing it for the rewards, no, because
okay,
no, it's not. But if you want a challenge, then yes, it is. It is. It, I will say, this strike was it was fun this week. It was definitely fun to run in there with a group of friends and just, you know. I can't see anything on my radar. Why are there so many enemies? What the hell is going on? Oh my God, my shield isn't regenerating. Exactly. That is fun. The experience itself is fun. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of players, like, when they ask that question, is it worth it to do it, are asking, are the rewards worth it? And truthfully,
I think
no, they're not.
Yeah, and I think the intrinsic rewards are definitely worth it.
Okay. Well,
no, I've gotten some crappy stuff. I'm really out of strange coins and, you know, I'm really like hurting on some, I haven't gotten any exotic drops from.
You need some antiquated runes. I hear the Nightfall is a great place to get those. That's
very true. Yeah.
My drops have been horrific.
Yeah.
Patrick, I'm not even kidding you. I think my last Nightfall drop was, 5-3 of coins.
Mm, yeah.
I was in a group where that.
Yeah, I actually saw that happen too. That's
was the drop.
That can effectively equate to nothing. That can equate to nothing as well.
Yeah, and it's essentially 7 strange coin.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more of a kick in the nuts.
I think the antiquated rune can essentially translate into like 4 blue engrams.
Well, actually, I mean, it's like a guaranteed legendary artifact that you definitely don't need because you already completed the quest to get a 310 version.
Yeah. I actually do need a 310 version because I nuked mine.
Oh, you did?
My 310 one. Well, I didn't. I infused it into one that gave void precision kills, and since I have that 1,000-yard stare with void damage on it, I'm an orb factory when I snipe in PvE.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I feel like that's the only reason to like tier threes aside from the calcified fragment that you get, and if you need to farm up some engrams, I feel like you just get legendary artifacts, which at this point I could care less about. So I'm a little disgruntled about that. I'm disgruntled about the 3 of coin. But aside from that, I'm still going to do the Nightfalls because it's a higher chance of getting an exotic, period.
Oh, yeah. And those exotics do fall in with the, if you're above light level 300, they can be 310.
Yeah, they can be 310. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, the exotics that drop in it are also not year one or like that limited sample.
It's basically all, it's just year 2 stuff that'll drop in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's a Galahorn. Hopi.
No, what I'm saying is that the 3 of coins, the weapons and armor and stuff that drops with the 3 of coins activated is a very small pool.
Yeah. Right.
This in Nightfall, it's not limited like that, and you can get some of the other exotic drops that you wouldn't have seen if you used 3 of coins. Mm-hmm.
It's really small for me. All I ever get is Hawk Moons and Suros Regimes.
Is that it?
Yep. I got like 6.
Hey, I'll trade you. I'll trade you those exotics for some 3 of coins.
Yeah.
Cheese and Burrito asks, "What kind of emote would you throw money at the screen for?"
Oh my goodness.
Okay. You know how League of Legends has like these really really expensive skins, like 30 bucks. I'd totally shell out that money. If it meant I could buy like a 6-pack of emotes and then gift them to my friends, and then together we could fully orchestrate like, I don't know, Swan Lake or something with the emotes.
Wow. Like a ballet or something?
Yeah, like, you're looking for ballet. Yeah, like you all line up, you position yourself, and then like it does like a 20-second rendition of Swan Lake. Something like that.
It's great for Christmas time.
I would love for an emote for my hunter. I have a female awoken hunter that would do like a pirouette, like the that happens when the blade dancer locks up.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of just something that involves that has some class to it.
I would.
And it's.
Yeah, yeah. That would be awesome.
I'm going the opposite way, Pope. I'm thinking like a touchdown dance, like the icky shuffle or something, where I slam the football down.
Yeah.
Something a lot of people have been asking for is like a slow clap or a golf clap, and either one of those would be fantastic.
Yeah. They've already
show a little sarcasm.
One. I know that for a fact.
Yeah,
they already have that.
Same
one.
With the Carlton. You know.
Yeah, because any chance to show sarcasm in the middle of like a strike, it would be just awesome. I love it.
Like you walk up to your buddy whose orb is the lion there, about to res him, and instead of res him, you just start doing the golf clap.
Oh my god, I would love it.
I would love for golf clap because like if someone starts teabagging me in trials and then we just win, then it's the last one. Just stand over his body, and I'm not going to reduce myself to teabagging. I'm just going to golf clap you, dude. It's like, good job,
right?
Good job,
fantastic.
Man.
Definitely pay money for that.
For sure.
Anything else there, Briar?
Batman Swagger 72 says favorite sniper out right now. I bet everybody's got the same answer on this one.
Actually, I have. I don't have one answer.
Okay,
I think it depends.
I'll let everyone else go first because I could write a book.
Well, I assume
on this.
He's talking about PvP. If he's talking about PvE, we probably have a lot of different answers. But PvP, it's got to be the Thousand Yard Stare for me.
Right? Same here.
If we're talking regular Crucible, it's still my Her Benevolence.
Okay.
Well,
but if we're talking about getting prepped for
Trials and
Iron Banner or Trials, Thousand Yard Stare is what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Mine's actually like it's between Thousand Yard Stare and Defiance of Yasmin. It's the Defiance is such an interesting weapon in PvP because using it properly, like, you know, you only bring it out when you really need to hit that guy, put it away, and it automatically reloads for you. So you only have to, you can immediately just start sprinting somewhere else.
Yeah.
The really cool thing about it is the scope. It kind of limits your field of vision on the edges, like a normal sniper scope, but it doesn't really. You can totally, like, you still have full field of view when you zoom in, in that, like, it's not a scoped in view. Or a traditional video game scoped in view with all the edges blacked out. No, you can still see everything.
Yeah. I love the scope on that thing.
Yeah, the scope is fantastic.
It feels
plus,
so
it sounds
clean
exactly
and refreshing.
Like it sounds exactly like the Halo sniper rifle.
Yeah, yeah. The UNSC sniper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a really satisfying sniper. Yeah, I have used it a few times in the Crucible, and I did enjoy it every time.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Thousand Yard Stare does not have a good vendor role, in my opinion. The scopes on it are very underwhelming. So you have to get lucky or get the one from like leveling up. I think that's the one that everyone uses, truthfully.
Yeah. The Crucible vendor has a pretty good sniper rifle that's higher rate of fire, so it won't do
res snipes.
Res snipe. But it like for every other application it's actually a really good sniper.
Tao Hanyan, something like that.
Yeah, you nailed it, I think.
All right. Nailed it.
Next, Sports Family 77 says subclass balancing, old and new, what is needed?
That's a big topic, actually. Yeah, that's still a very big topic.
Very big.
Are we talking about PvP again? Because in PvE, I would say the Solar Titan needs to be buffed again, but so I can throw infinite hammers. But that was fun,
that
right?
Was awesome.
That was great. You could light up, the whole area like you're sitting on the sun. As a Titan, when you lock up, it's just people just run the other direction.
Yeah, that's pretty much the go-to.
I feel like it's sweet, sweet revenge for the Titans for the year of just getting shit on.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree, Briar, but I'm taking the higher road here as a Titan,
and it's only more powerful when it's actually popping the super. The rest of the time. It's just a Titan.
That's the thing is the Titan has the worst neutral game, and that's the neutral game, for those who don't know, refers to when your super is not up. This is kind of in PvE, but it's mostly related to PvP, because I think class balance is usually a topic for PvP mainly. Like outside of their super, they're a very underwhelming class for PvP. Yeah.
Worst
PvP.
Melee.
Worst melee.
No mobility.
Fortunately, they do have stellar grenades. Like, I will challenge anyone who says they do not, because the incendiary grenade from Hunters that they have is fantastic. One of the best grenades out there.
They've got fusions also, right?
They have fusion sticky grenades as well, which is really good. Because sticky grenades have a lot of magnetism to them.
The fusions do specifically. They got a crazy amount.
Yeah. And then I think it's the, what is it? The, I can't think of the name of it. The line grenade that shoots out forward.
But they're nowhere as good as the arc bolt was.
No. They're not. That's good.
Just saying.
The thermite grenade.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, I couldn't.
Hope you were looking
I
there.
It was like it has iron in it.
Yeah, I was looking.
It has iron in it. Yeah, it's thermite. Yeah, the thermite grenade is also a really good grenade, even though it's very similar to the hunter grenade. But this one's just easy to use. You know, when you throw it, it's going to go in a straight line forward. There you go. Done.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to predict the. When I was doing the first quest for the sleeper simulant. And all the knights line up in a line, and I was on my hunter. I'm like, yes, this is finally going to work. I finally found a use for this grenade. I throw it at their feet, and it bugs out. And instead of going parallel with them, it just intersects them.
Oh, so it just goes.
And I'm like, you're one time to shine.
Yep.
Void line grenade.
You had one
you had one time, one chance to finally do what you did every other time, and you drop the ball. Yeah, I hate
right.
Yeah. So anyway, that's actually a really good grenade from the Titan.
By the way, you should definitely take the sleeper simulant and do a one-hit kill on all those guys in that footage
for the
review.
It's really satisfying. It's really satisfying. I don't think can you go back and do that mission now?
Well, if you have on another character.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if you have it unlocked on another character, but yeah, switch it over.
I don't think I do. That's a very satisfying thing to do, I imagine.
Yeah.
I think we kind of strayed from the original topic of what needs to be done in class balances. But yeah,
I think the Titan is like too broad, though. It's like a whole podcast by itself.
It's very too broad. We're just going to focus on the damn Solar Titan the entire time. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Sport Family. We'll probably get to that in a later podcast where we can talk about it and more in depth.
I imagine also it's going to be there's a lot more that's going to come out of the woodwork from Trials and Iron Banner, since people are going to be forced to use year two.
We're probably going to see a lot of people complaining about the Stormcaller as well, because that subclass lasts for a very long time if properly used, where you have all your cooldowns up and then you pop it. Like it will last for a very, very long time.
Yeah,
very difficult to, if they're using Ionic Blink, it's very difficult to evade them. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is the 39th Planet Destiny podcast. I've been Patrick Casey. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Holtzman_PD. And I occasionally stream on the Planet Destiny Twitch, and I make a lot of the YouTube videos.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me on Twitch at TheBriarRabbit. You can find me on YouTube on the Briar Rabbit channel. And I started a new PlayStation 4 community called Briar Rabbit's Warren. Come join that. That's where I pull people from strikes. For strikes, if I'm doing raids, if I'm doing anything, and I want to fill up a fire team, that's the first place I pull people from. So if you're looking for people to hang with, come on over to the PlayStation 4 community.
Awesome. My name is Teft Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter, and you can catch the streams for Planet Destiny on the Twitch channel. And I have a personal YouTube as well, Teft Teft Games. Come talk to me.
And this has been Pope Bear, and you can find me on Twitter at Pope Bear. And I am doing some charity live streams coming up, and one's coming up in October, on October 17th. So stay tuned to Planet Destiny to find out more information on how all of us actually will be playing and raising money for breast cancer awareness. And there's more information to come on that. We're really excited to be working with Triple Rec and other people in the community to raise awareness for this disease and raise money towards fighting it. So, as I said, we're going to put out more information, but there's something coming out on the 17th and 18th with the Dames of Destiny.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Thank you to everyone who actually listened to this whole thing. This was one of our longer ones as of recent. All right, guys. Yep. Thank you. We will see you next week.